Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is 2:37 p.m., Wednesday, June 12th. This is a work session on case number RC-19-191, Clyde Eisenbeiss, Freedom Mine permit work session related to a complaint. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotius. With me today are Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. I do not have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't.
Okay.
No opening comments.
Okay, thank you. I will turn it over to the portfolio holder, Commissioner Christman.
Okay, well, so this has been going on for some time, and it's pretty clear there's some disputed facts involved. And the commission had made decisions going way back, and some of the renewal cases and things like that, and the neighboring landowner, Mr. Eisenbeiss, has been in contact with staff fairly regularly, has concerns. Staff reevaluated some of the water modeling and things like that, and feels comfortable in the previous commission decisions and in the reclamation procedures that have occurred. But you know, it didn't take it lightly, I guess, is the point that I'm trying to make. I don't think that could be said with going through and remodeling and things like that. And so at this point, my understanding is we're at the point of kind of just acknowledging the final response to this issue that the staff proposes to send out. And I'm in support of it. I think it is a response at this time, and the only thing that I would really see changing is if staff is wrong because of some disputed fact, and the only way we could get to the bottom of that is if either the company or the landowner disagrees with this strongly enough to file a formal case where at that point we would be here in a hearing with a judge, and people would be under oath and able to cross-examine one another. And anything beyond this, I think, needs to go to that next step. And so I'll turn it over to staff and to legal counsel to see if I'm looking at any of this incorrectly or partially incorrectly.
And also I failed to do this at the beginning. Oh, so we don't have to get individuals to
identify.
I think it's a good idea. So, Dean, start with you, and then we can go around and just identify yourself.
Dean Mose, Director of Reclamation, AML Divisions, for North Dakota Public Service Commission.
John Hsu, Public Service Commission.
Zanna Brinkman, Assistant Director of Reclamation Division.
Okay, thank you.
I guess I'm not sure where or what.
Any response to what I just said? Am I?
I think
explaining something incorrectly. Yeah, or?
No, I think that, like you said, this has been going on for some time, and I think what in our discussions with Mr. Eisenbeiss is that he would prefer the hearing before the commission, and you know, I think we've reached a point where we are agreeing to disagree, and this would give each side an opportunity to present the case to the commission and go from there.
Can I ask some questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Dean and Zanna, I'm just going through the response letter where we're on page one at the end of the second to last paragraph, we say sedimentation pond P-H34-04 was removed and reclaimed in 2013, and sediment pond P-83405 was removed and reclaimed in 2015. When we say that, are we also saying that normal or pre-mining drainage was restored when we reclaim those ponds? Is that what happens? Or is that a leap too far?
The grading in the upstream watershed was done prior to the ponds being removed, and that was when later on we speak of Revision 30 that addressed mm-hmm. that. That was approved in 2009. And the grading plan was approved at that time, and the probable hydrologic consequences were assessed at that time.
But when you take out the sediment ponds and reclaim them,
mm-hmm.
you reclaim that drainage in that area back to how it was previously. Isn't that the goal?
It is different. As we state in the letter, that the one watershed increased in size, one decreased,
yep.
but the net
okay.
was a decrease in flow.
So the drainage is changed, perhaps, but the impacts are at or less than what they were previously to any downstream.
We believe so.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see here. So then on the top of page 3 in the letter, that kind of gets to that same point, that's what the modeling showed. And then down later in that page, second to last paragraph, as part of revision number 30, the Reclamation Division determined that although the combined watershed increased following mining, the second to last paragraph of that, page 3, the peak discharges and total runoff volume decreased or was near pre-mine conditions. Therefore, okay, so that's kind of summarizing that. Now, when we go right to the last paragraph, so page 4, this paragraph right before we go into complaint number 2. The Reclamation Division was not involved in the reconstruction of this diversion and continues to view this issue as a matter between Coteau and the landowner. So help me understand how this is different from the other drainage that we're talking about here.
The diversion is downstream of where the ponds were, and you know the mining disturbance. There was a diversion there prior to mining,
mm-hmm.
and the Coteau properties reconstructed the diversion
during mining.
Mining was complete. Ponds were. I believe the diversion was reconstructed in 2011, and the ponds were taken out in 13 and 15.
And why did they reconstruct that? I mean, why would they do something?
Coteau has indicated that the tenant at the time had requested it.
Okay, so that's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And because it's not part of the permit or the permit area.
It's right?
It's
not in the permit area, correct.
And it wasn't approved or even contemplated by us.
Yeah.
In any way, didn't have to come to us
right.
and ask permission.
And you know, we request, as part of Revision 30, we requested that the company address, are there any adverse hydrologic impacts of increasing this watershed size? They addressed it as part of Revision 30, and we concurred that there was no adverse effects, that even though the watershed size did increase, But using the commonly accepted modeling methods, that the flows would not have increased.
Okay, and then the statement, we don't view construction of the diversion as a mining reconstruction, the diversion of the mining related matter, a mining related matter. They didn't talk about that reconstruction in any part of that revision plan.
No.
Or in any of the modeling or anything, that wasn't part of it.
No.
Okay. Okay, so then we get into this next issue, which is more of drainage across the property, right?
Mm-hmm. You're on complaint number two now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the first paragraph on page 5. Where we say the last sentence there is, runoff from upstream areas continues to be routed around property via the reconstructed diversion. We didn't have, and that's now, that's post-mining, that's just how it's always been. What are we referencing there, Dean?
The actual conditions as they exist now is that, the diversion takes water from the upstream areas, from the areas that were mined, reclaimed around the property, and to the county road ditch.
And are we still talking about this diversion?
It's the same diversion
that right? We were talking about previously, mm-hmm. The reconstructed one.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same.
It's the one in the area where there was you're citing evidence that there's been a lot of erosion for years. Mm-hmm. And so this is a diversion that mm-hmm. staff believes was created to address that before mining.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. And that's where the runoff goes. Okay. As staff believes. Okay. Okay, then we get down to paragraphs. The only time when there would have been flows across your property, this is the third paragraph on that page, from the upstream areas east of your property during mining and reclamation, when the ponds overflowed due to a significant runoff event in excess of the design standards, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm unclear whether that has ever happened, where the ponds overflowed. Then we down the next paragraph talk about we were aware that the rebuilt diversion overflowed twice. Did that affect the ponds?
It overflowed twice. That were where the rebuilt diversion and both times in 2014.
Overflow, but why do we comment about that?
Pardon?
Why do we comment about that if those aren't part of the mining plan? In the runoff plan,
it's part of the complaint. Did
the ponds ever overflow?
Not that we're aware of, and we're looking into that further.
Okay. Is that why we don't say anything about whether they have or haven't overflowed? Flowed? Mm-hmm. Okay, because we're not sure yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do not have a record that they did, but we're just trying to verify.
Okay, so then that next paragraph, we reference a pond overflow. How can you kind of explain that paragraph, what we're getting at there? Where we're talking about the rebuilt diversion overflowed twice, and then the pond, how that may have fed into a pond overflow, if I'm reading this correctly. Just clarify that for me.
Like I said, we're not sure that August of 2014 overflow, if that was a result of a pond overflow or just, because one of the ponds was already removed by 2014.
Okay. Okay. So basically, we're saying that the erosion observed on the property isn't caused by runoff. This is kind of the summary of this whole thing. By the upstream portion of the watershed, as the runoff from upstream areas of the Coteau property is intercepted by the diversion, it's not flow across cropland portions of your property. That's ultimately the conclusion. Okay. Let's see here. I think I understand number three and number four are pretty clear too. So I guess I don't have any additional questions at this point. I think it's based on, you know, staff's available information, a reasonable response. But, yeah, we'll have to see.
Can you walk
me? Goes from there.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Can you walk me through the ditch? When was that first put in?
The diversion?
The diversion.
The diversion, the rebuilt diversion?
No, just was, what was there originally?
There was a an old, we call it a field engineered diversion, in about the same location where the reconstructed diversion is.
Okay, and then when it was reconstructed, and there are aerial photos that would support that?
We have, you know, we documented it in our inspection reports as well, you know, when it was reconstructed.
Before the mining occurred?
This was after mining had occurred and during the reclamation process.
Okay, what was there before mining occurred?
There was, like I say, an old field engineered diversion. Not sure when it was constructed.
With more or less capacity than the diversion?
I would say less.
You would factually less or just eyeballing it less?
I would say it was significantly less capacity.
We don't know how long that was in place.
No, we don't.
Or if it had silted in or over time?
We have reason to believe that it did.
Right.
It
was. They typically do. Okay, so then the diversion was deepened, widened, enhanced.
The new diversion, the reconstructed, it's deeper.
And that work was done by?
By Coteau.
Coteau.
Or by, I think by a contractor hired by Coteau.
So did we have any records in terms of who was the average depth, average width of that diversion before they did their work?
We don't.
To me, it's really important in terms of, you know, verifying that more of water volume, a higher volume of water could move through the diversion after, and not just to assume that that's the case, after it was modified by Coteau.
Well, doesn't that get to, some of the information in page 3 of your letter where you say that there's a number of reasons, primarily due to reclaimed or post-mine watersheds being less steep than pre-mine watersheds, and the soils with a higher runoff potential, shallow and clay pan soils were common in the pre-mine watersheds, were replaced with deeper loamy soils with higher infiltration rates and lower runoff potential. Doesn't that speak to why the capacity would have been higher in the new drainage? Page 3 of 7 on your response.
I'm not sure I'm following the question exactly here.
Well, Brian's wanting evidence that the watershed carries more water today to back up the diversion.
Mm-hmm.
Is the watershed and the diversion the same thing?
No.
I mean, the diversion is part of the overall watershed.
The diversion is part of the watershed in the sense that it's, you know, diverting water. It's just basically a channel. The watershed is the upstream area that feeds to that point.
I don't think I would define the diversion as part. Well, it's within the watershed, but I don't think I would define it as watershed.
It diverts water from its natural flow across the cropland.
So I'm curious why you want to show that diversion.
Because things change over time. And you can put a stock dam in that can hold X number of, you know, however many 100,000 gallons of water or whatever it is. And then over the course of time, it rains, it erodes. And even if there's no visible erosion, I've never seen runoff coming down the side of a bank that isn't brown in color. I mean, it's not clear water that's coming down. So you've got tiny little particles of dirt, mud, if you will. And over the course of time, that settles in the bottom. And then it changes the capacity, whether it's a stock dam or whether it's a ditch. It just does. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get to, was this a problem way back when, and the ditch happened to be, you know, it was twice as deep as one time, you know, the pre-mining ditch or diversion, or was it relatively new? I'm just trying to match up what was done prior to the, you know, what's alleged as increase in erosion to try and remedy that. Mm-hmm. And not just to take that snapshot in time. You know, 10 years prior, 15 years, or 20 years prior, could have very well been deeper with the intent that that's what it needed to be to handle the water coming down off of the hillside. It's important to me.
Well, the crux of the complaint, number one, if I'm understanding, is that this ditch was created by Coteau without permit. And you're saying it wasn't. This was there before mining.
There was a diversion there prior to mining.
Yeah.
And it was enhanced by Coteau.
And they reconstructed it. Our understanding at the request of the tenant at the time.
Okay.
And proportionally to handle the increased water volume.
Why it was reconstructed, I guess I can't address that. We have reason to believe that the diversion that existed there prior to mining was probably marginally functional, but since there wasn't an increase, you know, the modeling showed that there wasn't an increase in flows, or there shouldn't be an increase, the condition of the diversion was immaterial to us.
Okay, so that's why you're talking about why you even get into all of this discussion about the revision. Right?
Right.
Because that's not what the question is.
Right. Well,
it's not about that.
The revision, we had them address, is there going to be impacts, adverse effects to the hydrologic balance?
Mm-hmm.
And by increasing the size of this watershed. And the company addressed that and said, no, there would not be.
Mm-hmm.
The picture that it looks like Coteau provided from 1977, do we have that same picture on file too?
I assume that's a Soil Conservation Service photo. I'm not sure. In your letter last year, I believe that's a Soil Conservation Service photo. I also have the Google Earth photo from 1995, prior to there being any mining in the area.
Well, my question is, so, you know, we, for convenience, shrink things down to a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, but are some of these old photos available to us in a higher resolution, larger format, where you can really see what was there?
We can certainly blow them up, but you sometimes, depending on the quality of the photo, you lose detail. But some of the older aerial photos are actually fairly good quality that you can blow them up somewhat without losing detail.
Well, I mean, I don't have any reason to dispute your guys' conclusions. You're the experts. You've been out there. You've worked on this. You've been following it for a long time and have been, you know, listening to both sides. But there obviously are other, you know, participants in this that have a different understanding. It's just that this, so we need to get that understanding fleshed out in a proper venue. This isn't that time. So I think this is the next step to, appropriate step to follow, and it clearly probably isn't going to be the last one, though.
This land is no-tilled now, correct?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
The land now, is it no-till?
Turn your mic up, Jack.
Production?
Turn your mics off, guys.
I know I've... Is this a... Is the land as it's farmed today under no-till? No-till practices?
I would certainly say minimum till. I'm not sure about no-till.
I could... I can't tell from the photos exactly if it is or isn't. I can tell you from experience that when you move from what used to be conventional mowboard plows, turn it over, cultivate it, plant it on the hillsides, the erosion was, you could definitely, I mean, there was more erosion taking place, no doubt about it, during that era, but every spring you'd go back in and really couldn't tell where the erosion was anymore. Or you took the disc up and down the, you know, the edge of the disc, and you kicked the soil into the, where it had been washed out, and then you planted it. So basically, the only way you could really tell is the balding on the hillsides of getting, you know, losing topsoil. And so no-till would, doesn't do anything to help mask that. But it takes a long time for the, longer, I should say, for the problems with the erosion to show up, but they do show up. I wonder if we could get, how we'd know if that's been under conservation tillage and for how long.
Would that change their response?
No, I don't think it would change the response. I think that would be more for helping to make a decision.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to, either this and I would find this unlikely, either this letter will end it, or we will need a formal hearing where someone will have to initiate, where people can come in and present their case, and if how their the farming practices they're using, if someone thinks that's an important factor, they'll bring it up in the case and make their points, and someone else can dispute it or cross-examine them. But it's going to be up to people to make their case.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I can't guess all the things that could have happened at some point or maybe happened. We kind of know what's on record, and staff has evaluated it and went back and remodeled and things like that. I just think we're at the end of what we can do without a hearing where both sides are able to participate in an open dialogue and not one side coming in here and saying, oh, by the way, but make sure and look at this or make sure and ask that, and then the other side come in and say, well, here's the thing, you know, and that's not the way to handle it. We need a formal hearing.
Okay, is there anything else?
To restate it, so if there's not objection, this letter would go out as to where we're at this point in time, and it will include instructions for filing a formal complaint if Mr. Eisenbeis or the company wants to dispute anything in this. Is that correct?
That is correct, and there will be minor revisions just to adjust this letter to coincide with what you guys have done. For example, we didn't only discuss it during admin, we discussed right. It during a work session with fall, so there will be minor changes as well. And if you look at the back, it does discuss that there is an opportunity for the term is formal review to coincide with that, but really what we do is we cite the filing a formal complaint under our practice and procedures. What really that's what we're looking for in the this specific letter is more of the commission's review of staff's response. And as you said, Commissioner Christman, I wouldn't state that means this is absolute resolution of all the outstanding issues.
Okay, I think we're.
And a formal review under 3814.130 does not have to be from the permittee. That can be from a citizen.
The informal review is at the request, and it's not, again, to Mr. Eisenbeis's credit. A lot of this was written, this process was written for the permitting side. And for the process of permitting, and that isn't as clear-cut for the adjudicative side. And so we read this as saying the permittee or, I believe, person, affected party, couldn't request the commission provided an informal review of staff's response, which would be our initial review of it, which they already provided to Mr. Eisenbeis.
But I'm talking about this informal review does not affect an opportunity to request a formal review, and that can be from the citizen.
That's absolutely correct. We have the practice and procedure, and we also, attachment number 4 provides, it actually directly cites the practice and procedure in that with this description.
Okay, anything else, Commissioner?
I think that's all.
Sure, yeah. Anything else for you?
Mm. So just to reiterate, we do have a commission agreement that this letter is an appropriate response.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
I think as a next step. And we will see how it develops from there. Okay, this work session on RC-19-191 is adjourned.